Welcome back for week two. Good to see everybody here. I feel really, really loud. All right. Okay. So yeah, welcome back. Hope you had a good afternoon. I know you had a lot of choices, but thanks for coming out tonight. I don't know who here is NASCAR fans. A lot of NASCAR. I'm not a NASCAR fan. I don't know how it turned out. Not a NASCAR fan? Supposedly a huge sport. I don't know who won the golf tournament. Tonight's the All-Star game. I don't think anybody cares about the All-Star game anymore either, do they? Andrew, you do. We have DVR'd it. All right. Well, I know you have a lot of options, so thanks for coming back and welcome back. We have a couple housekeeping things to start before we get going too much here tonight. Hopefully you saw the little beautiful blue box back there. If you did participate in the little survey, just throw your survey in there. Make sure you don't put your name on it. Just throw it in there. Maybe we could start with a really quick review of last week, too. I see a couple faces that I didn't see from last week, so I may buzz through those slides just really quick, but let me open with a word of prayer, and then we'll buzz through last week and get into this week, which is biblical stewardship. So let's take a quick second and pray, and then we'll get going. Father God, I just thank you for this night. Thank you for those that have made it out. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless our time together around a really important topic of biblical stewardship and what your word has to say about us being stewards, Lord. And just bless our time. Lord, give me the words to say. And Lord, may you be glorified through this class even tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So real quick, if you'll hang with me one second, I'm going to go back and pull up last week's, if I can, and go through, just in case you missed some high points of last week, for those that weren't here, I think that's the one. So last week, just a couple of really quick things. Our mission statement was, the mission was just to equip and encourage, kind of empower the believers here at Sailorville Baptist with some needed tools to effectively manage the resources that God's entrusted them. So hopefully when you walk away from this class, again, you're not going to walk out a CPA or a CFA or any initials, but hopefully we'll give you some things to think about and some tools. And most importantly, you're going to find that the class is driving you back to the Bible and God's Word. And we're going to end tonight with a clip from Crown Financial Services, Howard Dayton. And he went through, he and Larry Burkett, I mentioned this book, I think, last time. This is a great book if you need something for your library, called The Word on Finances, where Larry Burkett and Howard Dayton went through the whole Bible, helped categorize it into topics. And so just a great resource for your library. But we said, why a study on money? Why another class? And we started with, clearly it affects everybody. Everybody in this room, you know, God certainly wants us to find contentment. Contentment is not normal. Most of us are discontent and can tell you what we need. So why a study on money? It affects us all. And God's Word addresses this topic a great deal. We talked about, do you have the right clubs in your bag? We talked about who has your ear and how we have all these different influences pushing in on us to listen to, from CNBC to Fox Business to Dave Ramsey to the Wall Street Journal. We're getting all these different sources of material and how our mind engages with our finances. And we talked about where a lot of us learned our first money views. And where did we say most of us learned our first views on money? Our parents, most of us. We talked about this tug of war that's going on in a lot of our lives, and that's, you know, the world's view and God's view, and how the world's view might be, you know, get more. God's view might be, you know, be content with what you've got. The world's view, this is mine. God's view, I am his steward. And that's going to be our topic for tonight, is biblical stewardship. World's view, hold on tight. God's view, give it away. He promises to provide. So, again, just kind of a really quick review. We talked about what money is, that it's a tool and a test. It's a testimony. It's a revealer of what's really going on in my heart. At the end of the day, what do I value? What do I worth? What do I spend my time thinking about? We talked about what money's not, and that it's not a measure of who we are. You know, that our identity is certainly in Christ and our relationship with Him. We talked about how money is not a guarantee of happiness, and how it's not solely a reward for godly living, how you wouldn't be hearing the prosperity gospel here in my short class. You won't be hearing that here. Talked about uses of money and how at the end of the day, there's really only five things we can do with money. You can give it away, you can save it, invest it, you can spend it, you can pay taxes, you can pay debt. And we're going to flush that out a little bit more in some coming lessons, but really at the end of the day, that's all you can do with money. There's only a few things, five things. So I think that was a pretty good review of last week. We talked about how at the end of the day, life is about decisions and planning and how there's no such thing as an independent financial decision. You know, decisions we make with money, they all have a compounding effect. The path you're on today, and we kind of ended with that, you know, that thought we've heard from Pastor Pat for years, you know, paths lead to places. And so I kind of challenge you to think about what path are you on financially right now? What road are you heading toward? Are you heading toward one that is toward contentment? Or so we'll flesh that out a little more too. And then our big idea for last week's lesson was that God's desire for the people here at Sailorville Baptist Church is that we find contentment and what that looks like. Anybody have any thoughts from last week? I know you'd have to be bold to speak up, but any thoughts, any questions before we get into this week? Anything that stood out? Go ahead. Okay.
And it was called Money Cometh, and it was like, you know, and there's a verse in the Bible that says if you tithe, then you'll be blessed, and then you'll be able to store it, but you can't give anything that is so that you'll be blessed. So,
yeah.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
Well, and hopefully, I don't know if everybody could hear that or not, we're going to have a whole week, I think 2 weeks from now, on that topic of giving, and we'll explore what God's Word has to say. But yeah, we're giving back a small portion of what God's entrusted to us, we're not giving to get, but we do know that God promises to provide. So yeah, thanks for that comment. Any other comments before we get into this week? All right, well, let's get going on biblical stewardship. So I think we can get past that. Our key text for tonight, if you brought your Bible, we're going to be popping all over the place tonight, and hopefully you have a pen. Does anybody need a pen or a handout? Everybody got what they need? We're going to be going all over the place, so hopefully you're ready to think. But our key text for tonight is going to be Psalms 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and all that it contains, the world and all those who dwell in it. And so we got to start first by just defining what is stewardship. You know, just real quick, a raise of hands. This will kind of help me. How many of you grew up in a Christian home? The majority grew up in a Christian home. How many of you would say, I've heard the word stewardship, I kind of know what it means overall? That's about half. Stewardship, you know, the way I would define it, there's a couple definitions, but Ron Blue has a great definition, I think, of stewardship, and it's basically the use of God-given resources. So recognizing that our resources are God-given. So my time, my talent, my treasure, my truth, my relationship for the accomplishment of God-given goals and objectives. Holman Bible Dictionary says, utilizing, managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. So stewardship, my goal and my prayer for this lesson is just that we recognize. And then when you walk out tonight, you've got an attitude of God owns it all, which again is very foreign to our world. But realizing that everything we have, He's entrusted to us. We're not going to take it with us. We talked about last week, we've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. We're not going to take it with us. You know, how much are we going to leave? We're going to leave all of it someday. But stewardship is more about while we're here, and it's not just about money, right? Too many times when we hear messages on stewardship, we're thinking just money, just the money route. Stewardship has a lot more to do than just money. But again, how are we spending our time and our talent and our truth and our relationships? And even from Pastor Pat's message this morning, you know, how is our church stewarding the gospel? So in a class this size, I don't think we're going to do any breakout times tonight, but just some breakout questions from my class that I did at Living Waters Fellowship. What are some characteristics that should be displayed in our lives as stewards of what God's entrusted to us? Somebody just really quick. What's a characteristic of a steward? Faithfulness. Faithfulness in giving. Faithfulness in serving. That'd be a great. I think of the Ten Commandments, you know, that we're all familiar with, and I think it'd be like Exodus 23, where they talk about you should have no other gods before you. Well, what about just faithfulness in our time? You know, do we even have any time to serve? We're in an over-busy society, aren't we? I mean, I'm constantly tied to my BlackBerry. We got stuff to do. When I think of stewardship of my time, do we have time to serve? So obviously there's a lot of openings here at Sailorville and nursery, there's all sorts of stuff. We ones, hopefully you've got some time to serve to where there aren't other gods before you. What's another characteristic of a steward? I would say a steward is somebody who's investing in things that last. You know, not just, you know, that famous Matthew passage, Matthew 6. 19 through 20, you know, are we storing up treasures in heaven? So we'll kind of flush out what some different characteristics are. You know, I think a good steward is somebody that has some margin in their life. And being a financial planner, you know, we love to talk about emergency funds and do you have the right size emergency fund? I mean, if you're being a good steward of what God's entrusted to you, hopefully you've got some margin in your life. Everybody know what I mean by margin? You know, you think of going across the mile-long bridge at Sailor, or, you know, out here at the lake. What if you only had, you know, 2 inches on each side? Would that make you very comfortable? I mean, any little screw-up and you're where? You're in the drink. Hopefully you're building some financial margin in your life to where you've got a good emergency fund and you've, you know, when I think of an emergency fund type of verse, I think of, if you got your pen handy, Proverbs 6:6-8. And that's that passage that you've all read. You know, it talks about go to the ant, you sluggard. Observe her ways. Observe the diligence of that. So characteristics of a steward, I think, is, yeah, faithfulness, like Jen said. Faithfulness in giving. Faithfulness in serving. Having time to serve. Investing in things that are going to last for eternity. I'm not even going to touch this one because we don't have enough time. This is a little different setting than the way we did our last class, but does stewardship apply to our environment? You know, should we be going green? What about our body? Should we be low-fat, low-carb Christians? Anybody want to take a crack at that before I move on? It's more of a question for a discussion-type question. Hopefully you are being a good steward of your body. No, that doesn't mean you have to be enrolled in a 7-step exercise program, but I think we should, shouldn't we? We should be being a good steward of our body. So let's press on. What's God's role in stewardship? Well, if you're following along in your notes that are in the back and you're filling in the little underlines, but the first thing I think we need to establish is just that God is the unquestionable owner of everything in this universe, and that ownership includes me, right? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Let me just grab my Bible here and we're going to read some passages. Very familiar passage too, but 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, and that's, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you? You were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. And so, you know, we've got to recognize that God is the unquestionable owner. That includes me, that includes my stuff. We have to change our lingo and our language sometimes of mine, and recognize that ultimately everything we have has come from God. And we should be operating with a little bit of a looser grip. So I think of an example the other day when a neighbor of mine, great guy, Kevin, came over and knew I had a specific tool that he needed. And I just bought this tool, and I think it's the coolest thing. Now, if I'm operating as an owner, part of me wants to say, oh, Kevin, I don't know. You know, do I just give him this new $300 tool that I just bought and say, good luck? If that's not my tool, if it's God's, I think I'd say, here you go, Kevin. You know, take it away. I hope it comes back in the same shape. But think about some of that language that we use. Are we operating as if God is the unquestionable owner and we are the managers? And so as you press on in thinking about God's role in stewardship, everything has been given to us. Everything. So there shouldn't be any basis for a self-centeredness or a pride in us. Again, back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 4. This is the passage, 1 Corinthians 4, about, you know, it's some instruction, the servants for Christ. And so like in verse 2, where it's required that a steward be found trustworthy or be found faithful. But if you press on to like verse 7, or even 6 and 7. Now these things, brothers, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sake, so that in us you may learn not to exceed that which is written, so that none of you will be arrogant in behalf of one against the other. Who regards you as superior? What do you have that you didn't receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? So many times, I think, in our walks today, we lose sight of self-centeredness and pride does come in. And so hopefully you've got an understanding that everything that we have, Lord, is yours. And that includes my time, and that includes my resources, and that includes my tools that my neighbor needs to borrow, et cetera, et cetera. Also, just as we get started here, recognizing that God's in control of every event. If you have your Bible, let's turn to First Chronicles and read a little bit here. 1 Chronicles 29. And this is actually a prayer of David, I believe. But I'll read this to you. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth is yours. Yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. So again, over and over, as you go through Scripture, you'll find that constantly it goes back to, Lord, everything that we have is yours. And so hopefully I'm being redundant, but very, very clear that we need to recognize that. And so even when we suffer loss, hopefully we can conclude that God has promised to provide for our needs. And so stewardship is about much more than just our money. But, you know, you've heard of these T's, I'm sure, if you've been grown up at camp. I'm sure you've heard of that: time, temple, testimony, treasure. How are you being a steward of your testimony this week? You know, back to your neighbor. How are you being a steward with what you're giving in your time? This one, maybe we will take just a minute to break out. If you want to just partner with somebody next to you and look up one of these verses, and then we'll come back and we'll get kind of your take. But I think you're going to find some of the same things. So let's just take maybe 2 minutes. This is going to require you to have to talk to your neighbor, so hopefully that's okay. Talk to your neighbor, and then we'll come back and just pick one. Which one do you want to take? Deuteronomy 10. Let's see, I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 4:7 is, yeah, that was one we already done. Oops. Yeah. All right, who wants to take the first one? Go ahead and read it out loud so everybody can hear, and then we'll just talk about them. They're all pretty doggone obvious. Kurt, you want to take the first one? So everything, again, another one of those passages. Lord, everything in heaven, everything in earth, everything under the earth, it's yours, Lord. Somebody else, let's see, another volunteer. Pick one. Go ahead. Yep. That's fine. Yeah, we can jump. So what do we have that wasn't given to us, and why do we boast in it? Absolutely.
And I actually think when you go to the New Testament and you run into characters like a Barnabas that sells his land and gives to the church, or you run into a person like Gaius in 3 John, that uses everything he has, it's strange to us.
Very.
Our culture actually works against us on these things. But if you go to other cultures, you're very humbled by how they take what little they have and use it for everyone. I've been there, and it is very humbling for me to watch that take place. We just have a culture that works against us on this, and we need to be aware of it.
We do, and I don't know if everybody could hear Chuck's comments, but yeah, we do have a culture that works against us. How many of you have been on some kind of mission trip, or at least been out of the country? And did you not come back with some kind of a refreshed view of how really wealthy our country is? Absolutely. Let's keep pressing on here. So if we know God's role in stewardship is that we recognize that He's the unquestionable owner of everything in this universe, we've established that. What is our role? I think we should spend probably a little bit more time with what is our role. And our role is that we are the unquestionable manager of all that's been entrusted, that what God has entrusted us with, no ownership rights. And that is a hard thing to get our mind and grasp around. You know, when you think of a manager, no ownership rights, but you've got to do your very, very best to manage it. You know, you think of the parable of the talents, and maybe we can go through that a little bit later. But again, very, very foreign to our world do we operate as just managers and not owners. And how I manage the resources God's given us has a substantial impact on the intimacy of my walk with Christ. I mean, again, a lot of times we hear people say, well, you know, money problems are, you know, if I just made more, I'd be okay, right, Steve? Not necessarily. So many times, money isn't the issue. The issue goes back to my beliefs. And my beliefs, one of our beliefs as a Bible-believing Christian is that hopefully we get our arms around this early on in our walk, that this isn't my stuff, and that Carson, my 7-year-old, who I brought to Shine tonight, was peppering me with questions on the way here. As he sat with me in church today and put our tithe in the offering. Well, Dad, why'd you give that? You know, and we had a great chance to go over together, he and I. Well, here's why. You know, this isn't daddy's stuff. This is, God gave me the ability to do the job I have. So I'm sure it was hard for his little 7-year-old mind to get all this. But there is a correlation on how you're managing your resources is certainly going to impact your walk with the Lord. Another really familiar passage in Luke. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? So again, as managers, we need to be faithful in what God's given us, whether it's a little or a lot. I work with some unbelievably wealthy people, and I work with some unbelievably people who are, right next to poverty line. And it doesn't matter if you make $1 million a year or you make $25,000 a year, you are a steward. And what you've been given, hopefully you're recognizing that this is the Lord's. I wish everybody heard of Letourneau University, the university in Texas. The president of that school has some just wonderful, wonderful quotes on money. And he's written several different books on stewardship. His name was R.J. Letourneau, I believe. But he was credited with coming up with the reverse tithe. I don't know if you've heard that concept too, where at the end of his life, he was giving 90%. And living on 10. And the thesis of his book is basically he was a dirt moving company. Letourneau is an engineering school, so TJ, you actually might enjoy his book because he's got a lot of engineering stuff in it. But so he talks about this concept of the shovel and how at the end of the day, God's got a bigger shovel. And so I shovel out all I can to him, and he always wins because God certainly has a bigger shovel and always provided. So fascinating read. If you are a reader, I can get that to you. Our role in stewardship, you think of the parable of the talents. Am I faithful with little? Can God trust me with much? Let's just take, I think we got a couple minutes here. I want to show about an 8-minute video clip, so I'm trying to save some time for that. But parable of the talents, let me just get right to the end of it. And I know you've read this, and if you haven't, that's why we're sending you home with notes, so you've got some verses that you can kind of go back and refer to. But, it starts with the parable of the talents. Remember a parable, just a story, and told by Jesus with some truth for us to take out. But, for it's just like a man about to go on his journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to the other 2, to the other 1, each according to their abilities, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Familiar story. Everybody knows this story. If we fast forward to verse 29, well, or 25, this is the one who hid. It says, "Well, I was afraid and went away and I hid your talent in the ground. See, I have what is yours." Didn't multiply it at all, right? Hid it. And we know that. Go back to verse 21. His master said to the one who multiplied it, "Well done, good and faithful servant or slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many." And so our role in stewardship, hopefully, I'm not sure that the Lord can entrust all of us with a lot. I mean, there's some that he can, there's some that he can't. But hopefully, wherever you're at with your talent or, Pastor Mark can't have all of us up there singing. Some of us don't have that talent, myself included. Wherever you're at, with what talent you've got, with what treasure you've got, hopefully you're using that and multiplying that and not hiding it. The idea in your notes of keeping an open hand, God can take whatever he wants, whenever he wants. I'm reminded of, if I could just go into story time and tell you about just different clients over the last 13 years. It's amazing how the Lord can bless and also take away. I'm thinking of a Christian businessman who's not in our church, but in one of our area churches, who the Lord has just tremendously blessed. And this guy's gone bankrupt twice and had 2 ventures that just bombed. And now the Lord has just blessed. So hopefully we keep an open hand, right? Lord, again, we're not grasping on too tight, even though that's not our natural tendency. Our natural tendency is when we come out of the womb, we are natural-born clutchers. We clutch, we hold on to what we got, we don't want to give it up. But again, keep an open hand. God can certainly take whatever he wants, whenever he wants. Back to some qualities of a faithful steward, you know, one of the first ones should be consistent in giving and tithes of the first fruits. And, you know, you think of people who have the Lord has blessed, you know, I think you'll find that a very, very common characteristic that the tithe isn't an option. It's not, it's the lowest rung on the bar that they're jumping over in their giving. And they're giving out of a love for the Lord, not a duty of, oh, I got to do this. I got to do this to feel good or to get what I want. Or so it's not that we're manipulating God at all. This is a requirement that we're consistent in giving of our first fruits. And a conversation I get to have with different people every once in a while is, you know, calculating the tithe. How do you? We're going to have a week on budgeting, which I think is kind of a fun week. Even though, I don't know if you knew this or not, budgeting, we're not supposed to call it that anymore. Certified Financial Planning Board has said that that word is uncouth and mean. We're supposed to call it planned giving or intentional living is the new word for budgeting. Doesn't that roll off the tongue? But in your budgeting, hopefully you set something that says, you know, Lord, my first fruits, I'm going to be diligent in giving. And if you haven't, you know, start today in that diligent of being consistent. But one of the questions we get about budgeting is, you know, how do I calculate my tithe? I got all these other business expenses and this and that. And it's hard. It's a faith matter. But Larry Burkett used to always say, you know, when people were saying, you know, do I tithe off my gross or do I tithe off my net? He would always say, you know, do you want a net blessing or a gross blessing? You know, so hopefully we are tithing off of our first fruits. Lord, what you've entrusted to me, you know, right off the top, I'm going to give back just a small portion. Another quality of a faithful steward is somebody that's completely honest with what God's given to them. And honest even in the little things. I think that's a great quality. Somebody that's very responsible. You know, it's required that a steward be found faithful, be found trustworthy. And then lastly, someone that has a very wholesome fear of the Lord. Again, not that we're giving to the Lord out of fear, but I think this is sometimes left out or lost in our theology today. I hope you've got a healthy fear of the Lord. You know, I know my parents, growing up, one of the verses I learned as I was reviewing Carson's Shine verses with him tonight was, but at some point I learned the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding both the evil and the good. Man, did that stick with me. You know, same thing with the way we're using our resources for the Lord. You know, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. He sees the good. He sees the bad. Nothing is not seen. And so hopefully we have a very wholesome fear of the Lord. Proverbs 16:6, I won't make you look it up, but it says, by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. So hopefully you've got a healthy fear of the Lord. Here's a really lame attempt at humor, which you learned last week. I have a super dry sense of humor, but you know, we shouldn't be giving to be noticed, right? You know, that would be a bad intention of giving. And stewardship applied, again, stewardship, it applies across the board to everybody. It doesn't matter, rich, poor, anywhere in between, you are a steward with what you have. You know, like I'm thinking of college kids, 128ers, you know, it doesn't matter. Again, you're a steward. We all should be giving back. And that's another fun thing when we get to the marriage and family lesson on teaching our kids. You know, even with our kids, I hope we're creating opportunities for them to be giving. Also, one other thing I always put in the stewardship lesson is, you know, am I providing for my own family? You know, we certainly should be providing for, you know, basic needs, food, clothing, shelter, health insurance, life insurance, retirement savings. The Bible uses some really strong language in 1 Timothy 5:8. I'll look it up here really quick, and I probably can know it from memory, but if any of you do not provide for his own family, especially for those in your household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I think the word there is infidel. So every once in a while I'll run into somebody who, you know, is struggling in motivation to, find a job or provide in those basic things. And so, you know, the Bible says we're commanded, you know, to be providing for those in our homes. So stewardship applied, you know, it does. It applies to absolutely everyone. So some questions for you would be to take, and I think these are in your notes to kind of think about this week is, you know, do you have a spirit of contentment? You know, last week we talked about contentment a little bit, but godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, are you operating as a steward? Like one question I'll ask myself at times is, what in my life would prove that I'm operating as a steward, not an owner? I can point to you lots of things in my life that would show I'm operating as an owner. But what shows that I have a recognition that, Lord, everything you've given me is yours. What do I have that I didn't receive? So I think that's a good question, and I won't ask anybody to answer now. But, you know, is there something you can point to in your life and as you think through your actions of that shows, Lord, I'm recognizing that this is your stuff, that this came from you. And maybe even that's just your ability to get up and put your 2 feet on the floor and go to work, right? And then am I enjoying what God's entrusted to me? I mean, it's God who blesses and is abundantly supplied. So hopefully, again, money is a tool. You should be making memories and having some fun things with your family while being a good steward. I think there's ways to do that. So real quick, I want to show one Nightline interview. Howard Dayton is the retired president of Crown. He and Larry Burkett started Crown Ministries together, and I thought I'd take a second to just show an interview. He was interviewed on Nightline about a year and a half ago, I think, and it's just kind of a fascinating interview that kind of ties in with tonight's lesson on stewardship and operating as a steward. And then also, this is just kind of a little plug for Crown. Crown, I think I have it in your notes, crown.org has a whole bunch of great resources, great articles on where, you know, money in the Christian life type topics. So let me see if I can flip over here and make this work. Technology is always great when it works. We'll see.
Global resources of ABC News with Terry Moran, Martin Bashir, and Cynthia McFadden. This is Nightline, January 24, 2008.
Good evening, I'm Cynthia McFadden. We begin tonight with the economy and a search for financial answers in the Bible. Dan Harris visited one evangelical money manager named Howard Dayton. He runs a nonprofit organization called Crown Financial Ministries that teaches financial management to the devoted through good old chapter and verse. It's part of our series, Faith Matters.
The Bible contains practical principles on how to handle all of our money.
Howard Dayton, a self-described former greedy businessman, went through a pretty radical transformation before becoming a self-proclaimed guru on how to spend money God's way.
The principles that you'll learn have changed my life.
More on Dayton's life change in a moment. First, a quick tour of his empire.
The reason that we are on the air is to help you apply God's financial principles to your financial situation.
He has a radio show that airs on more than 1,000 stations and reaches about 2 million people a week. He's written dozens of books, and his courses about how to manage your money according to the Bible are taught in tens of thousands of churches in the U.S. and around the world.
We open and close each class in prayer, and we actually recommend that the class members pray on their knees as a tangible way of honoring God.
Dayton's organization, which is called Crown Financial Ministries and is based near Atlanta, is one of the leaders in what has become a real cottage industry of evangelical financial advice.
If we handle our money according to Scripture, we have a greater relationship with Christ. To my knowledge, the Bible was written well before the IRS, Roth IRAs, 401ks, car mortgages, etc. So how useful is it really?
Well, it's incredibly practical. Obviously, it doesn't deal with home mortgages and Roth IRAs and that sort of thing. But the basic fundamental principles are there.
One of those fundamental principles, debt is bad. As it says in Proverbs 22:7, the borrower is the servant to the lender.
How much debt have you paid off over the last few years now?
About 58,000 total.
Wow. Oh, that's fantastic.
Is debt a sin?
No, it's not a sin. It's discouraged in Scripture. But it's not a thou shalt not be in debt or else.
Dayton understands families have to take out loans for big ticket items like a home, but he tells people like Kristen and Jason Pruitt to save aggressively to pay off that debt early.
Our spending before Crown was, there was no rhyme or reason. If we wanted something, we'd go out and get it.
All right, which direction?
Before they took Dayton's course, they say they were in debt and disarray.
Are you organizing, Dee?
Yes, he is.
You keeping everything organized?
Dayton had them literally start keeping cash for specific expenses, like groceries, in envelopes.
And when the money's gone, you know, we wait till payday.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
So what do you say to somebody who's got a problem with impulse spending? Think about God when you're about to reach for that, expensive item?
Yeah, I think prayer is part of it. I really do. You know, the Lord tells us to pray about everything.
It's really been a struggle for my wife and I.
Dayton says he practices what he preaches, but he has not always been frugal. Not when he was an aggressive young deal maker in the restaurant and real estate business.
You said at one point money was your God?
Yes. I mean, it was my total focus in life. I literally didn't care about people. I just wanted to make as much money as I could.
He got himself into some serious debt, but then found God. That's when he started to comb through the Bible for financial wisdom.
So you literally went through the Bible and counted up every verse?
Oh, absolutely.
Where he's talking about money?
Yeah, I mean, these are in the days before, you know, personal computers, so you know, I typed every verse.
He says he found more than 2,350 verses on money and possessions, and he and his wife, Bev, started to live by them.
Bev drove the same car for 17 years. We used to call it Puff because of the smoke that would come out the exhaust when it took off. And one of the things the Bible teaches is that of contentment, that we are to be content with what we have. And that was a huge concept for me. Particularly coming from a place where I just wanted to get filthy rich.
The basics of your message, live within your means, don't carry a lot of debt. Anybody, any secular person would give you that advice.
Yes.
Why come to you?
You know, not many folks are going to say to you, Dan, you're not the owner of what you have. You're just a manager of it. God's the owner, and this is the way that he wants you to handle your resources. And when I give to the Lord, I can do it as an act of worship.
And Dayton teaches that you should give 10% of your money to your local church.
I think the Lord does recognize that for all of us, particularly if money is tight, you know, giving is a step of faith.
But doesn't that tiptoe toward what is often called the prosperity gospel? You give to God, and you'll get something in return.
Well,
the Bible is not a slot machine.
It's not a slot machine. The way I like to express it is, the Bible does say that He will give and provide for the person who is generous. But when I give, I do with a sense of expectancy, but not, I'm clueless as to when, how much.
And here's where the critics come in. One of the complaints from some Christians is that using the Bible as a how-to guide trivializes it.
It's one thing to, you know, to say, you know, what...
I think we'll stop right there. This guy gets a little off the wall. The guy from Emory University on his thoughts. But what were some things you noticed from Howard Dayton? I thought the best line in the whole thing was, you know, not too many people giving advice are going to tell you that this isn't your stuff. I thought that was very telling. And it is. I think some of this advice has almost become a cottage industry. I mean, Dave Ramsey's created an empire off it. The reason I love a lot of the stuff that Dave says, the reason I'm kind of putting a plug in here for Crown is They are very, very focused on God's Word and what God's Word has to say. And another thought in there that I thought was very good was, you know, how many of us are praying about financial decisions? I mean, that's another question that we're going to get to some stuff to think about with you and your spouse. But how many of us are really praying through, Lord, should I make this decision? This is your stuff. I want to be the best manager I can be. I just think that's kind of a foreign thing. I even think about my my small group guys. You know, we're willing to ask each other hard questions of, okay, how are you treating your wife? You know, how are you doing controlling your eyes? But you know what? I think it's okay if we ask, how are you doing in your finances? Will they be pleasing to God? You know, does your checkbook reveal what you value? Are you being faithful in your giving? Are you operating as a steward? I just think that's something that sometimes we miss. And it all has to start here with that foundational principle, back to that very first key text, Psalms 24:1. We have to recognize the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. And that includes me, and that includes my stuff, and getting that turned around to where we act like a manager and not an owner is the challenge. But hopefully you found that. If you want to see the rest of that interview, just go to YouTube and Google Howard Dayton and you'll find that Nightline interview. Very, very interesting. They also put out, if you go to crown.org, they put out a really helpful, once a month they send out a publication called Money Matters, which is just really, I mean, there's a lot of just junk we all get in the mail. This is something that's really good and really worth reading through. So to kind of wrap things up, the big idea of this lesson is certainly that it's an honor that God's entrusted me financial responsibilities and this idea that I need to be a steward of what belongs to Him. And so some key questions, and I'm not sure if these are in your notes or not, but just some key questions as we kind of wrap up here is what in my life shows that I'm operating as a steward versus an owner? Follow the trail of your time and your energy and your passion and your money and your affections. You know, what's at the end of that trail? And not to harp on the time thing again, the pastors didn't plant me here as a mole, but, you know, do you have time to serve the Lord? What ways are you serving the Lord? I mean, that's, I think, a very fair question. And then what or whom do you worship? What shows in your life that, again, you're... And take my idea of just with your small group. I think that's a good... If you break up guys and girls in prayer, I think that's a very fair question of, you know, how are you doing a good job? Are you winning with money? Are you honoring the Lord? Have you been faithful in your tithe and in managing these things? Kind of some optional digging deeper stuff. If you want to read a good book, this is a very, very old book by a guy called Stanley Tam called God Owns My Business. It's a great read for Christian business owners. This guy, you know, I tried to legally make the Lord the senior partner of his firm, I think. He was a little out there, but very, very interesting book of recognizing, again, that Lord, my business is yours, blessed as... And then Surviving the Financial Meltdown by Ron Blue and Jeremy White, a very, very good book as well. And then this Word on Finances. I think we do have this in our church library too. So some homework for this week. I'll take the surveys you did and kind of compile the statistics on that. But kind of some homework for this week would just be, and again, you can participate or not participate. You can say, Steve, you're crazy. I don't need any help on money. I got it all figured out. But the homework this way would be finding some time with your spouse to just make a list of things that money can't buy, that you're grateful for, and then just asking that question, you know, are we operating as a steward? Are we just getting by? Are we doing enough just to get by? Or are we, you know, making a conscious effort to recognize, wow, the Lord has tremendously blessed us, and we all have more than we deserve, but... And then after reviewing the lesson too, I think this would be a great lesson to commit one of those passages, key passages, to memory, whether it be that one we started with, Psalms 24:1, or one in 1 Corinthians there.